are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now we are talking about mentorship and role models, particularly for young men. And we are going to be joined in just a moment by Elder Andrew Banda, who will be speaking to us about this. Now, no boy grows into a strong, capable man in isolation or by accident, right? We know that mentors and role models play a critical role in shaping character and values and aspirations, whether this is a father figure, or a teacher, or a coach, or a community leader. The right role model can inspire boys to reach their potential and to navigate challenges with wisdom. But how exactly do boys find the right mentors, and why does this guidance even matter at all? Brother Andrew Banda will be joining us to speak to us about this. My brother, good morning and welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing this morning?
I am doing very well. Thank you for having me today.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for making time. This is an interesting subject about role models. What is even the importance of having role models and mentors for young men? Why is it important for boys to have strong role models in their lives?
The first thing that comes to my mind is training. Mm-hmm. Because a boy grows up, he needs to see what it is to become a man.
Right.
And so without any point of reference, he's left to navigate life without knowing what responsibilities come with the fact that you are male. And as you grow, there are certain responsibilities and roles that you have to play. Mm-hmm. So as the term itself says, role models.
Yeah.
So you find that there are different forms of models around. They could be good models and also bad models.
Mm, mm.
So with regards to our topic, my thought comes from Judges 2 verse 10.
Okay.
You find that the Bible speaks to us training the next generation.
Mm.
Because it's through training that you find that a boy will have identity in any given society. So how do we shape character?
Yeah.
It's through mentorship, through those that have been through the shoes and the experiences of life at any ages. So you find that when we talk about training itself, like I mentioned in Judges, if it's okay,
mm-hmm.
I would simply ask that the Bible challenges us to really think, what type of generation are we raising?
Yes.
You know? Yes, yes. So the Bible in verse 10 of Judges 2,
mm-hmm.
you know, says that after the whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. So you find that you need to have role models who will give you the right set of values to go through life.
Yeah.
So whether it be your parents, let's talk about formal and informal role models.
Mm-hmm.
In a family, you find that you could have a father figure.
Yeah.
You could have an uncle. In the community, you could have elders. In African communities, you have headmen or just the elders. If you're in a school where I mostly belong,
mm-hmm.
you have a coach.
Mm.
You know, we could have community leaders. We could have professional mentors who could be experienced in agriculture, in industry, in any field. So one of the most important things for me about a role model is they set an example so that you could have a better start and not make certain mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful. And I think it's very interesting that you mentioned the formal and informal role models, because sometimes I think we have this idea that it has to be a formal thing. You have to be known as a mentor. It has to be a formal relationship. And yet there are many people who you might not even realize that you are actually someone's role model. Even if you're acting in the worst possible way, there are young men looking up to you and who are planning to follow in your footsteps unconsciously.
Definitely, definitely. And I love the fact that you mentioned that, look, everyone needs somebody to show them the way.
Yes.
In the prophetic ministry, you find that even you'd have the high priest, mm-hmm. who would have other priests around him that yes. he would mentor into knowing the oracles and how service should be done. In the case of Hophni and Phinehas, the priest failed to mentor his kids well, and hence their destruction. So it we have these to say, if just as a father, as I speak, mm-hmm. the first male figure that my children will observe on how it is to be a man is myself.
Eish.
So whether I'm called a mentor professional or not, by virtue of me being their father, I'm their mentor.
Yeah.
And the challenge is, I can either, and I'm asking, am I a good mentor or am I a bad mentor? What type of mentor am I?
Sure.
So we're there to mentor the next generation.
Yes.
Whether they'll know God or not. And if I may get too deep into this,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe I might answer questions you've not yet asked me, but I'll tell you this.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mentorship is something that we should not neglect, especially in the current world. One, the world is evil.
Hey.
Number two, it's highly competitive.
Yeah.
So you find that certain people who even thrive in the industry to be top leaders leading multi-million dollar industries is because they understand the art of having a mentor. One who guides you in just how you make decisions,
yeah.
how you fight the spirit of being indecisive. All goes on mentorship.
Sure, that's beautiful. And that also kind of speaks to the fact that a lot of times we assume that those kinds of attributes like being decisive and being a good leader, we assume that they're just intrinsic. You're born with it, not realizing that actually sometimes, yes, some people might naturally have those qualities, but with good mentorship, yeah. you can actually develop it in someone who maybe didn't naturally have those qualities.
Definitely. You may have certain traits,
mm-hmm.
but trust me, when you are under a good mentor, a good mentor will not project themselves on you, no. They will help you attain your greatest potential. They'll use their life experience and see where you're lacking and just give you a nudge for you to become what you're supposed to be.
Yes. Oh, I love that. I love that. Pushing you towards what you have been created for, what your qualities are, and helping you become your best self.
Exactly. It's not about them. And you find that there are so many people that will say they are mentors, but they're trying to project
themselves,
their energy. Yes. Their failures on you. No. They're not supposed to. A mentor does not reproduce himself. He sees what you are and is able to see what you are supposed to become through the conversations. And it takes an interest in your life and helps you become what you are intended to be. If he makes you realize what your cause for life, your purpose is.
That's powerful. That's powerful. Now, you mentioned earlier about the fact that whether you like it or not, we are all leading someone. We're all modeling somebody's behavior in one way or another.
Yep.
So how should boys discern between a positive role model and a negative one, one who might lead them astray? How do we tell the difference?
That's a good one. A boy growing up, so if a boy is listening to me, is the first question I'll ask is to discern about who a good role model is mm-hmm. what value are they adding to your life? And when I say value, are they challenging you to become better? Or are they comforting you in your weaknesses?
Uh-oh.
A good mentor for anybody who is a young boy to discern is to see the interest. Sometimes the mentor will tell you straight as it is.
Mm-hmm.
They will not comfort you in your sorrows. You know, they say sorrow likes company.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So a good mentor will see that maybe your trait is that you always want to blame others. They'll tell you you cannot blame anyone else apart from you. Mm. But there are others who would want to perpetuate and encourage a certain tendency. Yes. So they're not adding value. Number two, when it comes to discernment of who is, what is it that this person carries that is attractive to you?
Uh-huh.
If, for example, you have somebody who's a mentor and they are projecting you highly thinking about yourself and having no regard for others, they are boastful and proud,
mm.
then you should be able to discern to say, is this person glorifying human nature and forgoing anything that is spiritual? Or are they blending, as we would say in my Pathfinder days, that I'll be a servant of God and a friend to man?
Yeah.
You know, I'll be pure, kind, and true. So you will be able to see the traits. Are they projecting human glory, or they acknowledge that, look, even the strength we have, no matter how much they train you, God is at the center of it all.
Mm.
Then if it's in the traditional way, is the mentorship strengthening human relationships or destroying human relationships? So you should be able to discern, to whose benefit is this? As I grow, what is the end game? Is my satisfaction that I stand out and everyone doesn't?
Mm.
Or there's an element of helping people around you through your growth and through your success? So you should be able to see the lines which are there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm, that's powerful. And so how can fathers and older men in society actively step into mentorship roles in their communities? And I think this is important, especially in this world where there's so many children growing up without their fathers and, you know, not really knowing who to look up to. How would you advise fathers and just older men to actively step into those roles?
One of them that I'll say is this. First of all, I think acknowledge that we, like I mentioned earlier, we have a role to play by virtue of us, for those that are fathers. Mm-hmm. That's number one.
Yeah.
Because a child will always observe what a father is.
Mm.
So we have to be deliberate about it. One of them is by being good examples.
Mm.
If you're an abusive father, you're already mentoring the next abusive man.
Hey.
Just by virtue of you being abusive. So you have to be accountable for your actions and knowing that I'm setting the standard for this boy who's seeing me abuse a wife or anybody around, could be verbally or physically. So it's to be responsible through our actions. The other one that I'll speak to is this.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly as men, we find it that we leave parenting, especially in the early ages, to mothers.
Yep. Very true.
Yes. And we'll say, no, that's a mother's job.
Mm.
Somewhere to grow up, you be the loving man. So show him what it is to care for his family, to provide for his family, to be a member who supports community projects. It starts with you.
Yeah.
The other one that I'll speak to is, how do we, if you're an uncle, you're also a mentor.
Yeah.
Many are the times that we find women who are widows, and the Bible says you have widows among you.
Mm.
And most of the time, I feel that we miss the mark because we just think maybe widows just need monetary support. No. The fact that she's a widow, most of them will have sons that they need to groom. And a single-headed home, sometimes single mothers will struggle to give certain lesson values about how to be a man because there's no man. So an uncle should step in and support the widow, because there's some widows who have the money.
Yeah.
So their need is not money. Their need is help in grooming the kids that are under their care.
Mm.
So men should always take those steps. In our traditional setup, I know we have Gen Alpha now, who are in technology.
Yeah.
But even these that might seem to be too advanced for us, we should still make deliberate moves and draw them from the busy life and sit them and tell them, young men, for our generation, for our communities to survive,
mm-hmm.
there are these lessons that you should know. There is certain information that you know. It could be herbs. It could be principles of life, of how you unite a family that is disintegrating.
Yeah.
So these men have to pass on these rights, these knowledges that we have in our African context to build the next generation of men who will know how to survive even when we are in trouble.
Mm, that's powerful. Sure. It's very interesting that a few weeks ago at my church, they were announcing some program for, it's a mentorship thing for young men. And I found it very interesting that the elder had to really, he really had to beg, I don't want to say beg, but he really, it was close to that. Asking the men, please, can you come? The program was going to be on the following Sunday. And he was saying, please, can you come? Please, can the men come? Even if you don't have a son that needs mentorship, come. Even if you don't have any young man in your life, there are young men in the church who need you. So please just come. And I found it very interesting that there's this huge gap where men are needed. And like you say, a lot of times that work of raising children is often left to the mothers. And there's so much that young men miss out on because of that. In fact, even young girls need their fathers, right? They also need positive father figures. But for the context of this particular conversation, there's a need for young men to have positive male role models. And I think in the church, it is really, really lacking. We find it in the corporate world. We find it, like you said, in the schools and in the education system. But in the church, it really seems to be lacking. It's like it's just that handful of five or six elders that has to carry all the young men of the church.
Yes. And to your point, I should mention that as a church, we need to be deliberate and make it a quarterly item or agenda that on given dates, the men will take. You know, in Zambia, we have what we call Mukanda. Growing up, you'd get the young men, they are taken into seclusion and they are cultured.
Mm.
We still need that.
Mm.
Even when that maybe could have certain things that we may not agree with in terms of what lessons were being taught.
Yeah.
But the principle is what exactly is that, look, the young men are driven out.
Yeah.
And taken by men who have walked the path, men who have also made mistakes and want you to not fall in those pitfalls.
Yeah.
And then they sit you down and say, young man, we know you're tech savvy, but life is on the ground.
Mm.
You're not living in a virtual world.
Yep.
There are moments that you have to learn. And it's important that the values, even for the church system, should be impacted not in a sermon. You know what mentorship? A mentorship is not a sermon.
Mm-hmm.
A mentorship is where you sit and you have honest conversations.
Mm.
I'm not seeing my pastor, but I'm seeing a man who, with out of interest, guides me and grooms me from his experience. And I know better that when I meet certain situations, I am going to make an informed decision and I will not fall by the wayside.
Powerful. Sure. That's incredible. What impact does a lack of mentorship have on boys growing up without that strong male guidance?
One, loss of identity.
Mm.
The more boys we are raising without mentorship, the more we are seeing them running away from being men and simply saying, I feel like I'm a woman.
Uh-oh.
And this is the agenda that is in the world, the transgender talk.
Eish.
Because there is lack of strong mentorship, alpha males who will stand and call a spade a spade.
Mm.
And because of lack of what a man should be, the next generation is complex because they don't have identity. They don't know. They have no point of reference to what it is to be a man. If they do have, it's a wrong benchmark that they've been exposed to through media, through movies, or through negative or myths.
So
you find men that are weak in character, are weak in decision making, cannot lead the community what it should be. So you find that there is lack of identity. And when you lose identity, then you lose the purpose. So you find now many people saying, no, I feel like I'm, and I should say, it's okay for a man to cry. It's okay.
Yeah.
But we still need mentorship to help these boys, because boys are also raised up with the wrong tones of saying, no, as a man, you should not cry.
Yes.
And you
yes.
find that they will struggle with mental health because they do not have a means of getting help.
Mm.
So what happens is you have men who are damaged goods, and because they're damaged goods, they go into homes or create families that are going to be damaged because they did not get the mentorship of when you are in such a dilemma, where do you get help?
Hey.
Just to be told to say, my brother, it is okay that you are struggling, but you find that you want to mask a struggle. Who is going to help you if you do not cry for help?
Yes.
And that is why I like when is it Barnabas who cried to Christ, and they told him shh.
Mm.
And the more they made him quiet, the more he cried out, because when you're in need, if you are raised that you cannot ask for help, you are a man.
Mm.
How can a man? So you drown in your own sorrow when you could have received help.
Hey.
So the identity and the fiber of a man, what rose, how a man should be loving to his family, how a man should be a provider. Mm-hmm. Also, let me give an example.
Okay.
What happens to a man who finds himself in a situation where his wife earns more money than him? Many men will disintegrate because without mentorship to say, look, this is the reality of life.
Mm.
In the generation where we have, do you become a husband who now fights your wife because maybe she's in a better place? Or do you become a husband who recognizes and supports the wife because God has blessed her? But because you're one, you have to understand.
Hey.
If your wife is called to become the president, do you then fight her? And you find that homes crumble because we've not had mentorship to guide men in the different situations of life. Hence, we go pretending when we do not know better.
Hey. Sure.
So the impacts are several and they'll replicate over and over. And I'll give you again, without mentorship, you find men are abused even when they are young, because they didn't have any guidance of where they can get help.
Mm.
They bottle a lot of things.
Yeah.
And people just wonder, why does this man behave like this? It's because they lacked mentorship. And they will not attain their greatest potential.
Wow. That really highlights the importance of this on a grander scale, not just...
Yeah.
Because now you're talking about how it affects them even as a child, not just in their grown big age, but even from their childhood, it's already affecting them. And then as grown men, it's affecting their relationships. It's affecting how they view everything, success and loss and failure. Everything is affected. They're affecting their wives now and then their children. And it's just this cycle. Well, my brother, how would you wrap up this conversation on the importance of mentorship and role models for young men?
First of all, thank you for having me.
Mm.
I will advocate that as a church, as nations, as communities, we deliberately organize mentorship programs.
Mm-hmm.
Because by not doing so, as we know, the devil also has mentorship plans for these same boys.
Eish.
So where we are not acting, the devil is winning.
Mm.
And so if the devil has an agenda, then we too have an agenda to save our church, our communities, and our nations to the glory of God. So I call upon all men to just also reflect upon their lives, those that are listening. Did you have a mentor? Are there certain things that you wished you knew?
Mm.
If you do a thorough reflection, you will notice that this is an urgent matter and should be a greatest need of many boys if we are going to serve the next generation.
Yep.
So let the agenda be that we will train the next generation who will know the Lord and who will stay true to principle as the needle is to the pole.
Amen. Amen. Sure, that's powerful. Thank you so much, Andrew, for coming through. This has been a very enlightening and important conversation, I must say. And friends, if you want to contribute, please feel free to do that on +27 7347 0 3520. My brother, thank you so much for your time this morning. God bless you.
Thank you. Stay blessed.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.